All right, welcome back to the Bread and Butter Podcast. I'm your host, Brecklin, and today I'm here with my husband, Trenton.
Hello.
Welcome to the pod. And we're going really casual today. We've got Benny here on the couch with us. We're not using the pop filter, so if you hear really tight S's and T's, I'm sorry. We are in the middle of packing our house. Oh, there's Benny. He'll probably be in and out throughout the episode. We're in the middle of packing our house. So right now I'm looking at a giant wall of vodka boxes that we'll be filling up probably today. But before we kind of dive into the episode, let's chat really quick about what we've been watching because we have Trent, so we have to be talking some TV shows for just a second. So tell him what we've been watching. We've been watching mostly just one thing.
I feel like we've been watching more than one thing.
Well, you finished The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Which verdict?
Was not good.
It wasn't even close to good.
Nope.
We're watching Ted Chernobyl. Lasso. Oh yeah, Ted Lasso. Let's take a second for Ted Lasso, for any of our Ted Lasso watchers. It's been a disappointing season, but I don't feel like I'm like ready to give up on it. I feel like I fell in love with the show. The show means a lot to me, and I know that everyone's hating on it. And it's not a great season, but I just don't feel like I'm ready to, like, hate on Ted Lasso. I feel like I'm loyal.
Yeah, I'm just glad it's the last season, because if it gets any worse than this, then it would be very bad.
Do you think they're going to actually be able to wrap it up? What do you want to see happen in the remainder of the season?
I want to see happen that they don't win the championship, and that Ted leaves and is happy, that he's learned what he needs to.
You really want Ted to leave?
Yeah, I want him to learn what he felt like he needed to learn.
I don't know if I want him to leave. I kind of want him to find love where he is.
That's just too cheesy.
But I wouldn't be surprised if it happened, though.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it happens because the show is cheesy. I just like...
See, it's not.
It
I
is.
I feel like it has become cheesy, but I don't feel like it is a cheesy show.
I feel like the show is very cheesy.
Like, you've started comparing it to a Hallmark, and it makes me so sad because I genuinely don't feel like it was like that in previous seasons.
Yeah, I feel like it was.
You really do?
Yeah.
Hallmarky?
Maybe not Hallmarky in season one, but I don't know.
Because for me, I feel like Hallmark is like as low as you go.
Yeah, I just feel like it's cheesy like a Hallmark. Like everybody's, you know, best friends and everybody is trying to find love and there's a little bit of drama.
Yeah,
we get sad
a little soapy,
every episode and there's like meaningless characters that are just plot devices and
yeah,
you know,
that's fair. As far as what I want to have happen and then in the coming season, I don't know. I want to see more of Roy and Jamie. I don't even know what I want to have happen. I just want to see more of them interacting. I feel like Roy has like some issues that I want to see resolved. Do you remember that time where he was like talking about why he quit his career and he was like, well, I quit because, what did he say? He was like, I quit because I'm not good enough and I wanted to go out on a high note or something.
Yeah, well, he left his first team because he felt like he couldn't keep it up. And
yeah, he couldn't keep up and he never enjoyed it. Yeah. Something to the effect, which I think we're meant to understand is a direct kind of like mirroring of why he dumped Keely.
Yeah.
So I would love to see that kind of get a little bit more resolved. And I just want more Jamie content because I feel like I've actually fallen in love with this character, which I did not before. But now I just want to know more about him. Like when he kind of dropped a couple, I hope I'm not spoiling this for people who aren't caught up, but when he talks a little bit about his dad or his relationship with his parents or his parents' divorce, I just want to know more about him. So that's what I'm hoping for.
I kind of feel like we don't need to know more about him though, because I feel like what's kind of interesting is that we know that he kind of grew up really rough, and oftentimes like our acquaintances, we don't know everything that happens to him. We just get little bits and pieces here and there, and so I kind of appreciate that we don't know everything about him.
That's fair.
I feel like it's more relatable that way.
Yeah, no, that's probably true. And I don't know. I still have high hopes, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. And maybe we'll put something in the description for people to skip ahead if you're not caught up. Because I feel like it's not like we dropped a ton of spoilers, but Okay, moving on. We're also watching Chernobyl. And it has been a time. It's not a feel-good show, would you say?
No, it's not feel-good.
Have you felt uplifted whatsoever?
No.
No.
But it's good. It's quality really entertainment.
Good. It is really good. And it's a docu... It's not even a documentary.
No, it's not.
It's not a docuseries. It's just a dramatization.
Yeah.
When did it come out? It's not new.
I think 2019.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, this is something we were talking about. It came out in 2019, which is a little bit spooky because it has a lot of, like, 2020 kind of vibes. And also, I did not understand. I think the craziest thing about watching Chernobyl is I did not understand how big of a deal it was. Like, I think they really thought, like, the world was going to end. Like, that was in the ballpark of what they were dealing with, I think.
Yeah. I just don't think they knew what they were dealing with.
Yeah. No, exactly. Which I think, which is why it kind of gives me COVID vibes. Would you recommend it to the general public?
For adults, yes.
Yeah, it's not for kids. I wouldn't even say it's for teenagers.
Yeah, I would say... Mm-mm.
I don't know. I
think about the minors.
There is some nudity, just to be aware of. It's not, I wouldn't say it's particularly graphic or sexual.
No, it's not. Not at all.
But there is some nudity. So yeah, I guess not for kids. But I would say if you're adults, I think you should watch it. I think it's an interesting take into Russia at the time. What's the difference right now? This is going to sound stupid, between Russia and the Soviet Union at that time.
I think they were pretty much one and the same. I could be wrong. I'm not even sure. But I do know that Gorbachev dissolved the Soviet Union, and he's the leader.
Is he the one with the birthmark?
Yeah.
He dissolved the Soviet Union?
I'm pretty sure. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, I am really not that up on Russian history, but very interesting. It does give Stranger Things vibes, we keep saying, which I actually kind of appreciate. Tell them what you told me about the rumors about Stranger Things.
Oh, I don't think this is true, but I've heard that.
I would not be surprised.
I would think so.
If they're smart, that's what they'll do.
I don't think so, because they keep saying that they're bringing Stranger Things back to Hawkins. I feel like the Russia storyline's over.
Which kind of makes me sad, because I actually kind of liked it.
Season 3, I would have been sad, but season 4, it didn't really feel like it added too much. I kind of feel like they ran their course with that.
Yeah, maybe they did. Anyway, go on.
Just that I've heard, like, it's not even a rumor, just a theory that the season finale would be Chernobyl, and that's, they would kind of play it off as like a nuclear thing.
Yeah.
But it really wasn't.
Which is so funny, because as we were watching, the music... the core, it looks like Hawkins Lab. The music is the same, and there were genuinely a couple times where it's like dark and like shadowy and you can't tell. I genuinely was like, there's gonna be a Demogorgon. There's a Demogorgon about to pop out from the wall. So I actually kind of, it makes me want to watch, I've been wanting to watch some Stranger Things post Chernobyl. Okay, any other movie things that you feel like we should get after right now?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, we don't have a ton we've been watching. Let's just get into today's topic, which I wanted to kind of take, not like a journalistic approach, but kind of like an interview back and forth approach, just kind of wrapping up the last year of our life. I've mentioned this on the podcast before, so it's not going to be like news, but we're moving. We're currently packing up, and it's been, I don't know, we're coming up on a year since the last time we moved. And the last time we moved was our first big move away from home. We moved out of Utah. We had always been close to family throughout our marriage and dating. We dated for 3 years, and then we were married for 2 years there. So our entire kind of like world together was built around having family really close and being in Utah, where we were both raised We both went to college in our hometown. And so while I don't want to make it sound like a bigger deal than it is, because I know that people move all the time, like this doesn't make us unique, but I do think it is kind of cool to, I want to be able to look back on this year because it was a big year for us. Like within our little universe, it was a really big year. It was a really big change. And we're kind of like wrapping it up and moving to a new stage. And I just want to be able to look back and remember, just one, for nostalgia, and two, because during this time, I wanted to hear from my parents, and I'm sure you wanted to hear from your parents. We talked to your parents a little bit about, like, what was your first year together away from family like? Mm-hmm. Because I do think it's a really transformative year. And hearing from them and their experiences was genuinely comforting. And so whether it's our kids that are able to go back and listen to this or just ourselves later on, I just kind of wanted to chronicle what we've been up to.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to add just about what I've said so far?
No.
Okay. Well, I just came up with some questions that I wanted to ask back and forth. I'll ask you and then I'll answer it for myself. Just to kind of chronicle. So actually, before we get started, tell everyone what you've been doing. I've hinted at it kind of back and forth, but not back and forth, but here and there. But I've never been like, this is why we're here. This is what we're doing. I know close friends and family will know, but not everyone is totally sure what we're doing.
Yeah, I'm just doing a master's degree in analytics at NC State. It's just a year program, mm-hmm. one that I had my eye on for quite a while, and they have a really great job placement rate, so seemed like a great fit.
Yeah. No, it's been really good, and they do a lot of, if anyone is interested, I mean, tell them a little bit about what makes the program unique. Because it's not, I wouldn't say it's your typical master's program. First of all, it's just a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did a lot of like soft skill stuff with you too, which I think is great.
Yeah, just like a lot of presentations, a lot of writing.
A lot of collaboration.
Yeah, just about everything is collaboration. It's just like a really well-oiled machine, I would say, to actually prepare you for the workforce rather than just kind of inundating you with textbook information.
Yeah. But it was an intimidating jump for you from what you were doing at USU.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that just a little bit.
It was just kind of hard because I, at USU, you know, just going to class on my own schedule and not really having to work with anybody else and just kind of do my assignments and turn them in at the end of the week. Going from that to this, to where it was a schedule that they would just put on our schedule every day and it would change every day, and we would have homework teams and practicum teams and deadlines like by the end of the business day and all sorts of stuff. It was just like a big change, but it felt like a more professional change rather than like an educational change.
Well, and wouldn't you say too that, and I feel like this is pretty common with master's degrees, but you kind of like get into this and you're like, oh, like this sounds not maybe a little bit bad, but like, oh, I'm not like the absolute smartest here. Not to say that like where you were with a bunch of dummies, but like, I remember you coming home your first couple of weeks of class and being like, okay, like a lot of these kids that I'm with are very different for than me. Or like, what did you have? Like, was she an astrophysicist? Like that just decided to, just like a lot of really smart people, I guess.
Yeah, just a lot of people with different backgrounds, people who already had their doctorates and not sure why they came back, but they did. Yeah. So it was good.
Yeah. And I was proud of you for getting in there because it sounded like kind of an intimidating group of people.
Yeah.
Just even professionally to be working with.
Yeah, it felt like it. But the more I got to know them, most of them weren't intimidating.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically, we're moving to Charlotte for a job. Trent's going to be doing some analytics stuff up there. I'm still working from home, still doing my thing. So not a ton is going to be changing for us, except for location and that Trent will be working instead of doing school. So we're really excited. But to kind of dive in on our past year, and I hope I'm not hitting you with these too hard and fast because some of them are kind of like hard hitters. But what would you say has been the biggest difference for you from living here to living in Utah? Because I think a lot of times what people want to know or why they feel compelled to maybe move out of Utah, because Utah is a very unique place and it's a unique place to move out of as well. What are your thoughts on kind of getting out of like the Utah bubble? How has it been?
I wouldn't say like Utah bubble. I would say kind of more like relationship bubble, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say just moving away and not seeing family, you know, 2 times a week, pretty much at the least, and kind of having to be on our own for Sunday dinners and for Saturday nights or anything like that, really. Like it
on
was
any night.
Well,
being alone every night.
Yeah, it was a big adjustment, and it kind of felt like, I don't know, I feel like I'm getting smart enough to the point to where I need to stop saying, oh, I finished growing up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, moving and not being able to rely on the people around you, you know, at least a few days out of the week to no days out of the week, that was an adjustment. Yeah. But it was a good one. I think we gained confidence in ourselves and our abilities to be able to do that. And now it's not really a big deal. I mean, it's still sad sometimes, you know, some weeks are harder than others, but we can do it.
Yeah. I mean, as far as on my end, because you served a mission and mm-hmm. you had lived away from home, this was the first time I'd ever lived away from home. I had been in Utah for most of my life. And so for me, some of like the like stereotypical getting out of like the Utah bubble thing, like relationships aside, that was genuinely shocking for me. Like, I remember we went to like a baseball game and I turned to you and I was like, oh my gosh, Trenton, it smells amazing. You're like, well, what are you smelling? I'm like, well, it smells like fresh baked bread. And I had never smelled beer. Like, I didn't know that's what beer smelled like. And so even just like little things like that where I was like, holy moly, like there really are just so many things that I haven't been exposed to. I mean, I even think about like some of our first weeks here. I mean, I'm trying to think some of the things that kind of shook us up. You should tell the story about the car theft.
Oh yeah, we just get these emails just from the university saying like, hey, something happened.
Crime, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. And some of them are kind of funny, actually. Like there was one, I think it was at a grocery store that's just like a half mile from our house. But I got the email and it was like an armed assailant, I don't know,
yeah,
tried to steal a car, got in the car, but didn't know how to drive a stick shift, so got out of the car and then fled to the trees.
Yeah, and
something
it was
like that.
It's not funny, but it was like our first like 4 weeks of moving here. Like you'd pull into parking lots and there would be signs like lock, hide. What was it?
Well, I don't feel like that's...
But for me, it spooked me.
Yeah.
I was like, what is going on? I don't really feel like it freaked you out that much.
I just feel like that's what they put it, say like state or national parks. You
yeah.
probably just didn't even notice them in Utah because you weren't looking for them.
Yeah, but signs like lock your car, hide your valuables every time you pull into a parking lot. And I swear there was like, did someone get like stabbed?
Yeah.
You came home and told me, you were like, oh yeah, someone from school was like, oh yeah, don't run on that one path because someone got stabbed there.
Yeah.
So yeah, little things like that, I think, took me a second. And now I would genuinely say that I don't really ever feel unsafe. We still like, I won't be outside by myself at night, but I don't know. What would you say? You had that. You should tell about your chip. Your Chipotle encounter. Things just, it's not a big deal. They're not like these crazy stories. It just is funny because things like this never happened to us where we were living before.
Yeah. No, I was just walking out of Chipotle with my burrito and I got chips and salsa too. Yeah, I was alone and it was really dark. It was late. And this guy just approaches me and he's like, hey, I need some food. And you know, I was kind of scared because I, you know, I don't know if he has a weapon on him or anything, but you just never know.
He was kind of scary.
Yeah, and it was just really dark, and he came up behind me. It was like he was watching the door or something. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, well, I'll just give you my chips, my salsa. So I gave them to him, and then I left, and I came home.
And Trenton came home, and he was like, I feel like I should feel good about giving my chips and salsa to someone who needed it, but actually I'm just scared and chipless. I thought it was so funny. And those are just a couple examples of, I think, things that just are different. Another thing that I wanted to mention that I feel like has been really good for me, I think we've also been, I don't want to say lost our innocence, but maybe been kind of made aware in a good way of maybe like racial discrimination that I've never had cause to think of.
Yeah.
We went out with a couple and we were chatting back and forth about movies, and I had someone say to me, they're like, oh, well, like I think we're talking about like rom-coms or chick flicks or something. And she was like, yeah, it's so, so hard to find one where the romantic leads aren't white. And I was like, oh my gosh, I had never thought about that. Like never in my life. So things like that, I think, have been really valuable. What would you say?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so. I think it's just been kind of interesting to see.
What would you say, actually, as far as religion? We've talked about this a lot since moving here. Feeling like we stick out a little bit because, first of all, we're married and we're in our early 20s, which is not normal. But what would you say, what's that experience been like for you? Because when I moved here, I genuinely felt nervous to talk to anyone about being from Utah, because I didn't want them to think that we were weird or that we were going to discriminate. I feel like we've just had the conversation back and forth of, like, for instance, you have to go to a lot of happy hours for networking and you don't drink. How was that hard at the beginning? Was it easy?
I wouldn't say it's hard. You know, it's not like my idea of fun.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say that it's hard. Like, nobody's tried to push anything on me. Everybody's been like, oh, okay.
Which is so funny, because I genuinely thought, this is just how naive I was, that people would want to push it on you.
Yeah.
You just hear things like that, like, oh, just one drink, like whatever.
I think they just kind of expect, like, I'm from Utah, and they were just kind of like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I would say for me, it's been good, because I think I was maybe a little bit cautious or embarrassed, not wanting people to think that I'm a certain way that I'm actually not, just because I'm from Utah. And I feel like Utah's been getting slammed. Like, I feel like it's been getting slammed in the media for a while, sometimes for good reason, sometimes genuinely for good reason. Sometimes I think because it's a unique culture that can be misunderstood. But at the end of the day, it's actually been nice to be here, because in the South, religion is everywhere. And there are a lot of churches, and I think a lot of people around us are Christian and are religious, and it's just kind of like whatever floats your boat. I really do feel like there are a lot of people practicing their faith in lots of different ways. And I don't know. I just think it's become more comfortable for me, and I hope I get the chance to interact with more people and talk about faith in kind of a more diverse setting. I think I haven't, because I've mostly just worked from home and I haven't been able to talk to people about it, but that's something I want to be able to do. Anything to add?
No, I don't think so. I think you covered it.
Okay. All right. What would you say you're the most proud of us for?
You go first and then I'll think.
Okay. I would say I'm the most proud of us for kind of coming up with our own traditions. And they're not like super set in stone traditions, but maybe even just, because that was probably one of the hardest things for me when we moved, is, you know, we did have things like, oh, Saturday night, we would do like Saturday night takeout with my family and watch a movie, or I don't know, like Sunday dinners with family. And I mean, we have like our own little things now, which took us a second to kind of develop, but we have date night and we like have little routines that feel like us and feel like predictable now. And I guess I just didn't know if we'd be able to like develop those without our families. I don't know. That sounds dumb, but I genuinely, when we first moved here, I was like, what are we going to do? So I would say that's probably what I'm the most proud of us for.
I think the thing that I am most proud of us for is just being able to like stretch ourselves out of our comfort zone and actually be able to follow things like a budget or be a little bit more disciplined when it comes to things that we want.
Yeah.
And I think that that's been a really good experience for us, because I feel like for the most part, and me especially, we haven't really had to do that. Really?
Yeah. We've been really, really blessed, really lucky.
Yeah.
And even now, but...
Yeah. I just think, like, moving forward to where hopefully things get a little bit easier, it's still a good lesson to have.
Yeah. No, I think it's been valuable, and we knew that we needed to kind of have that experience. And I was thinking the other day, not that it's always fun, because I think it can be stressful to have less resources maybe and to be in kind of a tighter spot financially, but at the same time I don't feel like we've been less happy
no
than we were. I genuinely don't. I feel like our happiness level has been the same.
Yeah I agree,
and I think that's kind of rewarding. I mean, there have been certain things that have been more stressful and times where we've had to be like, okay, like we'll have to pass, and but it's fine. Do you know what I mean? Like, it at the end of the day, it doesn't really affect us even that much.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. I just, even the other day, this is dumb, but like we never went, I don't know. We just like our restaurants. That was kind of like something that we really enjoy. And so obviously we've eaten out a lot less, which probably a lot of people are doing with the recession. And I think everyone's kind of in the same boat, but it's been fine. Like, it's totally been fine. I remember being really scared for that, and it was fine. Like, it just makes me feel like instead of worrying about someday, like, not having enough or, like, losing wealth, I kind of just be like, it's nice to know that, like, if we were to lose it all, that we would be fine.
Yeah.
Like, we'd figure it out, and the money was never the thing really making us happy anyway.
Yeah.
Which, I'm proud of for us for that as well. I'll go first on this one as well, but I wanted you to answer something new that you've learned about me in the move. And I was going to answer something new that I learned about you. So something that I learned about Trenton this year is I've always known that you were a hard worker and that you were like gritty, but I think I also had this perception of you that you were sensitive, and you are, you're a very sensitive person, but I think I kind of associated that sensitivity with like shyness, and you are an introvert for sure, I would say. But I've also this year been like, holy cow, you have a lot of grit. You really, really do. And with all of your sensitivity, I didn't expect that you could pack that much grit, honestly. And like even in ways like you would have to give up and give these long presentations to panels in a really intimidating environment, talking about things that maybe you were still trying to figure out yourself, but you're supposed to present them like a professional. And I remember when they were really working on your public speaking skills that it was really difficult for you, and you're like, what do I do with my hands, what do I, you know, how do I speak confidently but not too formally, and you would practice with me. And I would hear these presentations over and over. And I just remember looking at you and being like, he is so brave to do this. Because as kind of a natural introvert, which you've always had good speaking skills, but I will say they've come a really long way. And I knew that it was a really humbling experience for you to have them be like, you need to do this better. You need to do this better. And I would hear you downstairs practicing for hours. Your speaking and your presentations. I can just hear like the little drone of your voice when I'm working a lot, because I know you're practicing. So that's been something that I've learned about you this year, is just that really when it comes down to it, like you can really double down and really kind of grit your way through it.
Yeah, I think one thing that I've learned about you a little bit more is I think you're better at adjusting to things than you give yourself credit for. I think both of us, you know, but I think like you, including you in this, I think that you feel like change is just going to like ruin you at times.
Yeah.
But yet I feel like the anticipation, especially for you, is always just like the worst part, because when it comes down to it and we actually do, like when we actually moved, I felt like I was sad for longer than you were, or at least it felt that way.
Yeah.
And so I think that's one thing that I, because I just kind of took your word for it, or, you know, just kind of had my own perceptions that I'm like, oh, this is going to be really hard and this is going to take a long time. And it has been hard, but I would say one thing that I have learned about you is that, you know, the anticipation, the fear is always the worst part, and that you're better than you give yourself credit for when it comes to adjusting to things.
Thank you. Yeah, I definitely, the anticipation was rough. We went on a vacation with my family like literal days before we literally came home from the airport from this vacation and left the next morning, which I don't know why we did that. But just anticipating the move and everything, there was a point where we are like on a boat with my family in the middle of a beautiful ocean doing some like scuba adventure, and I am bawling on the boat, and I'm trying not to show my family that I'm crying on vacation, and so I'm like turning my head into Trenton trying to like hide my tears. So yeah, the anticipation was rough for me especially. What's something you feel like you learned about yourself this year? Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
Okay, I'll go first. Something that I've learned about myself, I feel like you'll probably agree that this was a really big, like, come to Jesus year for me. And I've talked about it a little bit before, but before we moved, I obviously had hard things, right? Like, I would struggle with different things now and then, but I feel like I was really comfortable in my role as being, like, the one that fixed problems for you. You know, you were in your undergrad, which frankly was sometimes more intense than grad school has been. Mm-hmm. It was really difficult. And I feel like you were the one really, really grinding. A lot of times with like emotional things, like, can I do this? Am I good enough? Am I going to get into grad school? All of these things. And I was really not aware of a lot of the things that I struggled with. It's not even that I was like being brave. I don't know if I just repressed. I just was not aware, even though I thought I was a very self-aware person. And so I would say this year, I've been like, wow, I have some stuff that is hard for me and that I had never like intentionally held back, especially from you. But I feel like I was able to just really be honest this year and learn a lot about, and I probably won't share honestly a lot of it just because it's personal, but yeah, I've learned a lot about things that I struggle with and that it's okay to struggle. I feel like sometimes you would say something that I knew was true about me in a kind way. It's not like you were ever like, you're this way, but you would say something like, you know, have you ever noticed like this seems to be hard for you, and I'd be like, oh my gosh, don't say that, like, I'm fine, everything's fine. And it's been good for me to be like, oh, it's okay to have like actual issues and to struggle, and for you to see that in me.
Yeah. I think one thing that I've learned about myself is that, you know, it's okay to step out of your comfort zone sometimes, especially when it comes to going without some certain things, because I'm somebody who is more comfortable stepping outside of my comfort zone with certain things, but when it comes to maybe like my living space or, you know, having things be exactly how I want them to be and do exactly what I want to do, that's that it's okay. You know, it's okay to go without, I guess.
Yeah.
That sounds dramatic, but I'm not meaning for it to be that way. I think, like, one thing that, you know, I was really scared of was, you know, we didn't come out to North Carolina to look at housing. So we found an apartment. We had never seen it before.
Yeah, we rolled up and unlocked the door and we're like, cool.
Yeah, and we hadn't heard the best things about this complex either, you know, and we were a little suspicious that the last tenants hadn't treated it very well, and we were just kind of nervous, but we went with it. And although it's, you know, not really a place that I would choose again, I think it's been just fine.
Yeah.
You know, it's been just fine.
Yeah.
You don't need everything to be comfortable, and it's okay to be okay with that.
Yeah, no, I think so. Let's see. In kind of wrapping up, any memories that you hope that you don't forget about anything, honestly, anything that we've experienced in Raleigh itself. A couple that I came up with right off the bat was, there were some happy ones and some sad ones that I also don't want to forget, but one of the times that I remember feeling the closest to you, obviously was the drive out, because that was just kind of wild. But also when you dropped your dad off at the airport, because he moved out here with us and was with us for the first couple days, helped us unpack, and then he had to go. And you dropped him off early, early in the morning, and you came back to bed. And you're a very emotional person, but you don't really ever manifest your emotions. And it was one of the first times since leaving that I'd seen you cry. And yeah, I feel like I'm going to cry now. But I remember you came in and you got back in bed, and I could tell that you were really sad and really scared. And I hugged you and I didn't know what to say. And we just cried for a little while. And I remember being like, holy moly, like, we're like really out here doing this. Yeah, I hope I don't forget that.
Yeah. I guess I don't, there's not like a specific memory that I hope that I don't forget, because honestly, most of what I've thought about has been school.
Yeah.
I just hope that we don't forget like the way that this chapter felt, you know, period, because, you know, for instance, maybe like I'll give my parents as an example. They went to school in Minnesota. My dad was doing graduate school and my mom finished up her undergrad there. And even though they were in Minnesota, I think for 2 years, you know, the stories that come out of Minnesota, you would think that they were there for much longer.
Yeah.
And I just hope that I am the same way, say with like our kids, to be able to be like, hey, this was a growth zone for us. Like we were only there for a year, but I have never forgotten how it felt. And I've learned a lot of things that, you know, we'll carry with us through the rest of our lives. So I wouldn't say any single thing, but just more, you know, stories, anecdotes, you know, all like the grains of sand that made it our sandcastle.
Yeah. I would say probably the same thing. I guess that's kind of one of the reasons why I wanted to record the episode, is I just wanted to kind of have closure in a way, because I think we're moving from, oh my gosh, we're away from home, we're doing it, to, okay, we live here now. Like, this is what we're doing. Like, this is maybe a little bit more long-term for us. It's not just something that we're kind of surviving. Not that that sounds dramatic, but we're just kind of settling in a little bit. But I do think, it has been a huge growth zone. I hope I don't forget how we didn't have all of the kind of comfortable things that we were used to having, but that we were still happy. I guess that's one thing I really don't want to forget. And how everything kind of, because we weren't used to we didn't have a lot of things we were used to having, everything kind of actually became more exciting. Like, the other day we, like, made grilled chicken for Sunday dinner, which is something we always would have at my parents' house, and we'd never really been able to produce here. We just could never make it the way that we wanted it to. We have a really crappy cheap grill, and you, like, nailed this grilled chicken, and we were stoked. Like, I took a picture of our plates, like, I sent it to our moms. I was like, oh my gosh, we did it. Like, we made Sunday dinner. We made grilled chicken. As, like, stupid as that sounds, it just becomes that much more exciting. Instead of like, oh yeah, you know, going to dinner at the parents, we'll, you know, probably have our typical Sunday dinner. Things have gotten more exciting and more special, and it's just kind of a fun place to be. Just kind of me, you, and Benny.
Yeah.
Shout out to Benny. Where would we be without Benny? Benny currently, you guys, wants to be touching Trenton at all times. He has a fear of boxes and moving. And it's actually been really sweet, because since we've moved, Trenton and Benny are just like two of the best buds you'll ever see. That's actually another thing that I hope I don't forget, is just how tight you guys have been. All right. Anything else you want to say before we wrap up?
I don't think so.
Any advice for anyone moving or lonely, out of their element, before we wrap up?
I think one thing that it's come to my mind a few times, but we talk a lot about, say, when we like beat ourselves up for like the way that we acted in the past, or, you know, like we, I think a common thing to be is like, well, if you were to go talk to your younger self now,
mm-hmm.
like, what would you say? Like, you would tell him that everything's okay, and that, you know, it's okay to make mistakes. One thing I thought about, though, is like, well, what if my future self came to talk to me? What if I am the younger version?
Yeah.
And I think just kind of thinking about that and having that in perspective, rather than just like thinking of like how hard things are right now, you know, like, what would your future self say?
Yeah.
And at least for me, I feel like that's helped me just to like envision what I want to be rather than how I feel right now.
Yeah.
And how that person, my future self, I hope would be very understanding, but also motivating. Yeah. And I think, you know, at least for me, that's been a good thing to remember.
I like that. That's sweet. All right, guys, that is it for today. Thank you for tuning in to our, I don't know how long this is, probably pretty long. Long, not quite rambling, but getting there. But just kind of our own recollection of a time that's been really good for us and really special and really hard. And I wonder if you guys can hear that thunder. Sorry if you can. That's the South for you, honestly, especially as we're going into summer. But thank you so much for being here. If you want to go ahead and make my day, go ahead and leave a review on the podcast to let me know how you're liking it. And I will see you back here next Tuesday. Bye, guys.